Well, good evening, everybody. It's nice to see you. Thank you for coming out again this evening. Just before we turn to the Word of God, I want to put something to you. Some of you may know that I'm on the board of Upload Ministries and Gospel Folio Press, and also back in the UK on the board of Precious Seed. Now, you might not have heard of Precious Seed. On the other hand, I see one or two nodding. You might have done. And as well as publishing books, Precious Seed also publishes a magazine quarterly. Now, up until now, that magazine has, the content of it, I think, has been very, very good, but the presentation of the content has been very, very poor. Now, we have changed that. And the first edition of the new Precious Seed for the new millennium is now out, and it looks like this. And inside, of course, it's got some articles, one here on the millennium. It's got some historic things like how one of the first assemblies in the UK was founded over 150 years ago at Tottenham in North London. It's got three pages of reports of the Lord's work and activities throughout the United Kingdom. And just as it's my job to promote Uplook in the United Kingdom, so it is part of my responsibility to promote the new Precious Seed here in the United States and Canada. Now, I've brought a couple of copies with me. They'll be at the back. And also at the back, alongside the visitor's book, is a piece of paper brought by me and a pen. And if you would like to receive this magazine, I'd like you to put down your name and address. If you would like more than one to give to a friend or others in your assembly, then just write the numbers 2 or 3 or whatever. There is no charge for the magazine, and I would very much like you to have it. Now, if you're normally, for most of the year, in fellowship in the church here at Park of the Palms, you won't need to do that because I'll be sending some copies directly to Mr. Gilbert for distribution here. But if you're here as a visitor for part of the year or for the conference and you'd like to receive the magazine, then do put your name and address down on the yellow sheet at the back beside the visitor's book. And if I look at it at the end of the week and there are no names on it, I'll be very hurt. So I'd like you to do that. Now, would you turn, please, this evening again to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, and this time we will read from verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, and the thoughts of many hearts shall be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in at that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. And I'm sure that God will add a blessing to the reading of his own word. Now, for those of you who may not have been here this morning, and for those of you who were and have forgotten already, we spoke about the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this evening I want to share with you some thoughts about his circumcision, about purification, about presentation, and about revelation are the things that appear in the section that we have read together this evening. Of course, when you think of the incarnation, there were some people who were in on it and some who missed out. For example, some who missed out on the blessings of the incarnation, one was Augustus Caesar. He was slightly involved in it, indeed perhaps involved in it in quite a big way, but he missed out. He did not experience the blessings of the incarnation of the Son of God. Another who missed out was the innkeeper. What a privilege it would have been for him had he been able to find room in his inn for the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, there were others who were very much missed out as well. The Bethlehemites themselves, who refused to welcome him on the day of his birth. And of course, it is true, too, that there are still many today who still miss out on the benefits of his incarnation and, of course, of his crucifixion and resurrection as well. But then there were others who availed themselves of the blessing that was available. There were Mary and Joseph, of whom we have spoken already. And in our section tonight, there were others. There was this man, Simeon. There was the woman, Anna. And others who, again, made themselves, if you like, were able to take advantage of the coming of the Lord Jesus. And I want you and myself tonight to be able to share, to be amongst those who find advantage and benefit in the coming to this world of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we come to this particular section, the background of the section seems to be the law. It occurs 5 times in the passage that we read, and it's referred to in various ways. For example, in verse 22, he speaks of the law of Moses. In verse 23, it's the law of the Lord. In verse 24, it's the law of the Lord. And in verse 27, it is simply the law. And down in verse 39, again, it's the law of the Lord. And so the background to this passage is the recurring word, the law, the law, the law. Now we know that our Lord Jesus Christ was made under the law. And he came to fulfill the law, to keep the law, and to make it honorable. And so the law serves in the Gospel of Luke as a dark background to the light of the Lord. You may know that if you go into a jeweler's to buy a piece, that he will not just hold it in his hand to show it to you. You might well, if he were to do so, enjoy it and like it, and you might even buy it. But he wants to make sure that you will feel compelled to buy the piece. And so what he does is he sets it on a dark, on a black cloth background so that its beauties might be enhanced, that its sparkle for you might be the greater, and that you might the sooner put your hand into your pocket to buy it. Now, Luke, of course, is not quite wanting us to do that, but he does desire to show forth the beauty and the glory of the Lord, and therefore he lays him on the dark background of the law. So, we are told that when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Day 1, incarnation. Day 8, circumcision and naming. And of course the idea of circumcision was that the law, the Lord Jesus Christ, was going to keep the law of Moses. He was going to honor the covenant that his father God had made with the father of the nation, Abraham, that on the eighth day that the males, the Jewish males, should be circumcised. It was the sign of the covenant. And this shows the concern and anxiety of Mary and Joseph to bring up, if I may speak in these terms, their boy in accord with the law of God. And that, of course, is even today a tremendous thing for parents and grandparents to do, to try to ensure that the children are brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so they were anxious to do that. And they called his name Jesus. We saw that at the birth of John, there was some debate about what he should be called. But here all is clear. His name was called Jesus, as had been mentioned by the angel before he was born. Now, Jesus is a lovely name. It means Lord, the Lord is Savior, Jesus. And yet, you see, the name Jesus has some strange things about it. For example, the name Jesus occurs about 100 times in the Gospel of Luke. And yet, never do the disciples call him Jesus. They simply do not do it. Indeed, the Lord himself in John's Gospel says to them, "You call me Master and Lord, and you do well, for so I am." And every time the disciples speak about him, they would prefix it by Master and Lord. Now again, you will remember that in the book of James, now James was the Lord's brother. James had lived with the Lord Jesus for approximately maybe 25 years at least, perhaps, well, not the whole 30 because the Lord was born first, but for 25 plus years. They had grown up together. They had ate together. They had slept together. They'd lived in the same house together. They were probably educated together. And James knew everything there was to know about Jesus. He had lived with him. And as a result of that, I'm sure that during those days of when they were together as boys, that the Lord would have called him James and he would have called him Jesus. But at that time, James did not realize nor appreciate who his brother was. Even when his brother was preaching and doing miracles, he didn't appreciate who he was. And some of his brethren did not believe in him until after the resurrection. But years later, James is now reflecting upon his big brother. And he writes these words, "James, a servant of God and of Jesus." No. He writes this, "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ." James, his own brother in the flesh, when referring to him at least twice in his writings, gives him his full title, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think if that's good enough for James, that you and I might just wish to reflect whether that should not characterize how we speak of him too. You might say, but he is referred to as Jesus in the New Testament. Yes, he is. But on each occasion that he is, there is a particular reason why that is so. So just let's keep in our mind what he seemed to enjoy and appreciate was, "You call me Master and Lord, and you do well, for so I am." Let's not perhaps take him too casually or too much for granted. So, there was the circumcision and the naming. And then there was the purification and the presentation. I don't really want to say anything about the purification except to draw your attention to this. In connection with the purification, it was that they were going to be purified, Mary was to be purified and to present them to the Lord. And as they did so, they would do that by bringing a burnt offering and a sin offering. And normally, parents would like to bring, if you like, a lamb and a turtle dove or a young pigeon. That was the normal sacrifice in this occasion, a burnt offering, the lamb, and a sin offering, a turtle dove or a young pigeon. But provision was made for families who were not able. For families who were not able to purchase a lamb, they were allowed to bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons. And I think it is remarkable that when the family to which our Lord Jesus Christ belonged came for purification and presentation after 40 days, when he was 40 days old, what did they bring? They brought two turtle doves or two young pigeons. In other words, the family was apparently not able. And yet there was one in their midst who was able, to whom all power had been given and committed, and all judgment, and he was able to do anything, and yet he was not able. But I want to speak to you particularly this evening about his presentation. They came up to present him, to give him back to the Lord. Now, I think there's something special about that. And although I do not necessarily, although I do not believe that it is necessary to have, when children are born, a particular dedication or presentation service, I think it should be the concern of parents and grandparents to make sure that privately the child is dedicated to the Lord. My fourth grandchild, a little boy who rejoices in the good Irish name of Connor. When he was born, my wife and I were quite concerned about him, because he was going to be the first in the Hill family to be born into a non-Christian environment. And therefore we were anxious to present him to the Lord, to claim him for God the day he was born, because we knew his parents would not do that. And so we sort of made in our own minds special arrangements that as the day that he was born, that I would make sure I went to the hospital and that I would be able to take him up in my arms, and whether silently or publicly, I'd be able to pray for him and to thank God for his coming and to present him to the Lord, to claim him for God. It sounded easy. On the day that he was born, my son telephoned to say that he was born. And I said, good, well, we'll be right up to see him. They lived in a town about 50 miles away. And he said, well, no, Carolyn is actually not very well. And she's very tired. And there are to be no visitors. So we said, well, we would come up on the next day. But no, that wasn't convenient either. This did not seem like Alan. In fact, I suspect it wasn't Alan. There was something behind it. All the time that Carolyn was in hospital, which was for about a week, we were not able to visit. When they went home, we thought, we'll go now. But no, we weren't able to go, for one reason and another. I think the baby was at least 6 weeks old before we saw him. We went to the house. I was determined to claim him for God, but the circumstances were such that it could not be done. And the devil held out against that until eventually, after about 3 months, I was able to take him in my arms and quietly present him to the Lord. I'm sure that's something that the devil didn't want to happen for my little grandson, nor for yours either. And so I believe that that's something we should set our minds to do. But we are told that at this presentation, and the reason that he was presented was, you remember when the firstborn were destroyed in the land of Egypt, when they came out of Egypt, God claimed the firstborn of all the Israelites for himself. And because it was not feasible that all should serve him, all firstborn ones should serve him, then the tribe of Levi did. But for all other firstborn, they had to be redeemed out of that responsibility. And the cost of the redemption was 5 shekels. Is it not an amazing thing that our Redeemer had to be redeemed himself? And the redemption money was paid of 5 shekels when he was 40 days old, so that he would not, as it were, have to be totally dedicated to serving of the Lord. And yet in the same way, of course, he did. But I want to draw your attention to one Simeon who was there at that time. In verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Our attention is drawn to Simeon in these circumstances because Jerusalem was full of people, but there were some special ones that God had there. And Simeon was one of God's special ones. Now, Simeon's particular gift, he was not a preacher. He was something better than that. His name means he was a hearer. And what God is looking for today is not so much preachers, but hearers. God wants to be heard. And we shall see in a moment or two how God was heard in the life of Simeon. The same man was just and devout. He was just in his dealings with people that were around him. And he was devout in his exercises and faith toward God. And he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, I don't know how old Simeon was, nor how long he had been waiting. But he was waiting. And if you had seen him, Simeon, and said to him, Simeon, old man, what are you waiting for? He would have said, I'm waiting for the promise of God. I'm waiting for the consolation of Israel. And if I were to say to you today, my dear friend, what are you waiting for? You would say, well, I'm waiting for quite a few things. You know, there's a saying that if you're waiting for a London bus, you can stand for an hour and one doesn't turn up. And then after an hour, 3 all turn up together. Well, we've been waiting for a long time. And the things that we're waiting for haven't come yet. But when they do, they'll all come together, hard on the heels of each other. What are you waiting for? Well, you might say the first thing that I'm waiting for is the Lord from heaven. The Lord from heaven. And what else are you waiting for? You might say, I'm waiting for my salvation to be complete. And what else? I'm waiting for a new body. Anything else? And a new heaven, and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. These are the things that we are waiting for today. And I say to you, brethren and sisters, that they are well worth waiting for. Don't give up. Hang in there, because they'll all come together. Some of them in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. And we shall be so glad that we were found waiting. Now we are told that the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now that was a particular blessing in those days for the Holy Ghost to, from time to time, rest upon individuals. But you know, you and I have got a much greater blessing than that. The Holy Ghost is with us. The Holy Ghost draws alongside us. The Holy Ghost is in us. Now, of course, it's worth mentioning in passing that you cannot have some of the Holy Ghost. He doesn't come by measure. He giveth not the Spirit by measure unto them. So what does that mean? It means that either you have the Holy Spirit or you haven't. For example, if somebody had telephoned here today to Park of the Palms and said, is Roy Hill there? The answer would have been an unequivocal yes or no. I mean, either I'm here or I'm not. And you have either got the Holy Spirit or you haven't. He is a living person, indwelling each believer from the moment of conversion. And you have him. And if you have him, you're born again. And if you haven't, then you're not. And so the Holy Ghost was upon him. And something else. and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. Now, the Holy Ghost's exercise is to speak of Christ. And here in Jerusalem, there were not very many people that wanted to listen to that. But Simeon did. And I have in my mind's eye, as it were, a vision of the Holy Spirit bursting with information. And he wants to tell somebody, he wants to share with somebody. And he eventually finds somebody who's willing to listen. And that is Simeon himself. When did the Holy Spirit last share something with you? When did he last tell you something about the Lord Jesus that you hadn't seen before, or hadn't heard before, or hadn't enjoyed before? Some of you might say, well, he did that this morning. Well, that's good. Let's hope that he does that a few times during this week. But you know what I mean? Are you someone who is ready and prepared and willing to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit? Because if you are, he'll tell you about the Lord. He's full of information about him, and he wants to talk to you about the Lord Jesus. Simeon was a confidant of the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful blessing that was. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he, Simeon, should not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now that's a beautiful thing. He didn't reveal to him that he should not see death. No, no. Because Simeon would die. Mind you, the Holy Spirit has revealed to us that we may not see death at all. What a wonderful blessing that would be, and we'll talk more about that towards the end of the week. But he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. At this time, Simeon was, as it were, immortal. And he knew in his mind that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now, of course, you and I, we have seen the Lord's Christ, have we not? But you know, it's a great thing that when death stalks the country and looks in the eyes of men and women of the world, they turn away. But when death comes to us and looks us in the eye, we can look him back. Why? Because we have seen the Lord's Christ. And I like the way that's set up here by Luke. Should not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And what a great encouragement it is to know that I've seen the Lord's Christ, and that will be something that will help me through. Will I reach the gate in lingering pain, body distorted, grotesque, or will it be my mind wandering untethered among wild fantasies and evil terrors? Lord, by your grace and mercy, I pray, let me get home before dark. And if he were to come tonight, we'd all get home before dark. And Simeon got home before dark because he was about to see the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. Now, if Simeon had belonged to the Plymouth Brethren, of course, Simeon would have said when he got up that morning, he felt exercised to go up to the temple, whatever that means. Well, he exercised himself by going up to the temple. And if you and I had stopped him on the street and said, "Hi, Simeon, where are you off to so early this morning?" "Up to the temple," he would have said. "Why are you going there?" "Well, I'm going to see the Lord's Christ." "Really? Really? Can we come with you?" "Yes, of course." And so up he goes to the temple. He felt the urge, he felt the drive to see the Lord's Christ. And he gets into the temple, and there's nobody there. Sometimes, you know, when the Lord's moving is on, he puts the first hurdle right in our way at the very beginning. Of course, what are hurdles for? I saw a book in a bookshop at one of the airports I stopped by yesterday, and it was entitled "This Hurdles Are for Jumping." And this hurdle was put in Simeon's way. When he got to the temple, responding to the direction of the Holy Spirit, there was nobody there. There was nobody there. So who's Simeon looking for? The Lord's Christ. What do you think was in Simeon's mind about who he was going to meet? Well, Simeon would have been familiar with the Old Testament. And the picture in the Old Testament of the Lord's Christ was that he was a man of war. That he was a conqueror. That he was a victor. that he was a man who would release prisoners with the Lord's Christ. And so that's what Simeon has come to see, the Lord's Christ. Well, as he hangs about the temple, still waiting, in the way that he had waited for so many years, then there came into the temple, his parents brought him the child, Jesus. Now, I suspect, if you're like me, that all babies at about 40 days from day 1 to day 40 or even more, they all look the same. Now, some people claim that they don't, but I sort of think they do, and I'm always mystified when particularly ladies can see in little faces their father or their mother or their grandmother or something else. So, to an old man who had perhaps not been used to babies, they would all look the same. Now, can you imagine the conversation that goes on? The Holy Spirit says to Simeon, or Simeon might have said, well, where is he? I'm waiting here. I feel disappointed. And the Holy Spirit, who confided in Simeon, as we know, might have said to him, Simeon, he's here. Where? I can't see him. Well, you see that little group over there? Yeah, I see lots of people now coming in, families with babies. Well, he's there. Is it that man that's, that big man that's standing there with the beard? No, Simeon is not him. Is it? No, it's not. Who is it then? You see that little bundle they're carrying? That Simeon is the Lord's Christ. Isn't that incredible? The Lord's Christ. Again, of course, if you said to me that you wanted to meet the Son of God, I could take you to another place. Maybe some years later, a back street in the town of Nazareth. Maybe, to use a phrase from the Old Testament, there would be boys and girls playing together in the streets thereof. And you might say to me, you've brought me here to this back street in Nazareth to see God. And I'd say, yes, I have. Well, where is he then? See that group of boys playing? Yes. See the one in the blue? Yeah? That's him. Come on. That's God? Or, of course, I could take you some years later to a hill lone and gray in a land far away, the emblem of suffering and sin. And I could show you God again upon the cross. And so it is that the Holy Spirit of God directed Simeon not only to the child Jesus, but he directed him to the right baby. And he went over, and for an old man, he took him up in his arms. I think that's a lovely phrase that jumps right out of this page to me. He took him up in his arms. He took him up in his arms. And you know, you and I, we should still do that more often too. We should take him up in our arms. As we go away from this place, I drove past a library not long ago. And how did you know it was a library? Because I saw people coming out carrying books. Their arms were full of books. I assumed it was a library. And as we leave this place, during this series of meetings and every Sunday morning, we should carry out with us in our arms the person of the Lord Jesus. Because if we do that, then he is willing to share with us in that way. And he took him up in his arms. Just a few things that were then said. And he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. I suppose, in a way, Simeon was the first servant of the Lord ever to depart in real peace. How did he do that? For he said, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. But come on, Simeon, all you've seen is a baby. Yes, but I know that this is the Redeemer of Israel. This is the Savior of the world. And I'm relaxed now about going home to heaven because I have seen the Lord's Christ. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. A light to lighten the Gentiles. Strange he should mention the Gentiles first, isn't it? Here was an old Orthodox Jew steeped in the tradition of the Jewish religion. And he's seen the Lord's Christ and he describes him like this. You might say, come on, Simeon, tell me about him. Give me one phrase, says Simeon. A light to lighten the Gentiles. How glad we are of that, aren't we? And the glory of thy people Israel. In verse 33, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. I think that's wonderful, because up until this point, nothing had been said that they'd not heard before. And yet they marveled at the things that were spoken of him. You know, that's a wonderful thing about the Lord. That though I tell you things that you know about him already, nevertheless, you still marvel at them again. And here Mary and Joseph marveled at the things that were spoken of him. But then Simeon had some new things to say about him. He said, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign that shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. This was the large Roman sword that would pierce the heart of Mary as she stood later at the cross and saw him there. And of course, at that instant, there came in one called Anna, another old lady. Whether what age she was, we don't really have any idea. There are problems about the way the 84 years are described to us. But she was one who departed not from the temple, but served God with prayers night and day. And she, coming in at that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. You know, it's great. Simeon must have told her, mustn't he? He must have shared with her that this is the Lord's Christ. And so together, these two old people rejoice. Now, isn't it strange? You would have thought that when the Lord's Christ arrived in Jerusalem, they'd have summoned all the young people together and said, now look, here is someone who's going to change your life. Here is someone to live for. But no, the Spirit of God didn't do that. He went to some of the oldest people he could find in the district, and he introduced them first to the Lord's Christ. And what did Anna do? Well, Anna spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Israel. Now, I suppose that the congregation here tonight is not the youngest congregation that's gathered together in Florida, if we were to take an average age. And some of us are maybe older than Simeon, and maybe some even older than Anna. But you know, it's to our generation that the Lord wants to reveal his Son. It's to this mature generation of Christians that the Lord wants to talk about, that the Spirit wants to talk about Christ and to share him and his glories with you. The big question is, are you prepared to listen? Let us therefore all be like Simeon. Let us have our ear open. Mine ear hast thou digged or open. Open. Let us have our ear open. Let us have our ear open to hear things about the Lord Jesus, so that like Simeon, we can take him up in our arms. And like Anna, we can speak of him. May God help us to do that, because that's the way to win folks for the Lord. It's fine to have large evangelical crusades. It's fine to have powerful preaching. It's fine to be in the crowd. But there is nothing that is more powerful than an individual speaking of him. And there is nothing that is more powerful than taking him up in your arms. If you haven't held him for a while, try it now. May God bless his word to all of us. Our Father, we come to thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. We thank thee for thy Son and his incarnation. And we thank thee for his presentation back to thee, and for thy work and for thy glory during his short time here on earth. We thank thee for thy mercy and grace in involving older people at his coming. We thank thee for Simeon and for Anna and for all others who would likewise look for him and speak of him at that time. So, our Father, we commit and commend now ourselves to thee, asking that thou wouldst be pleased to bless thy people through thy word. And grant thee we might all leave this place this evening, rejoicing together in the Lord's salvation, knowing that the Lord still, through the Spirit, wishes to converse with us and wishes to tell us more about Christ. We pray that that might be our experience in the days that lie ahead, as we ask these things in his worthy and precious name. Amen.